myself wondering today, why do some go and some stay? Do each of our hearts know their way? Through valleys of sorrow and tears, across oceans of longing and years, and the sound of it all in my ear, I travel. I traveled so far. I traveled so far to be here.
And you're listening to the distinctive voice of Mary Chapin Carpenter singing the first track in her latest album. She's an audience favorite and, of course, a favorite of mine. Her new CD is titled The Age of Miracles. She's here in the studio. We'll be talking about her new recording and what she's been up to since her last visit.
Until then, life's hardly begun. You travel. You traveled so far. You traveled so far to be.
Good morning, Mary Chapin.
Good morning, Diane.
So good to see you again.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And you and I really have traveled a long way together.
Yes, we have. It's been many years and many wonderful conversations.
Every time, it seems to me, for certainly the last 8, 9 years, every time an album has come out, yes, you've been here.
I've been very lucky.
So have I. I want to ask you a question that I don't usually ask of my guests. Mm-hmm. Considering the title of your new album, The Age of Miracles, mm-hmm, do you believe in miracles?
Perhaps not in a religious sense, as some people sort of would apply to that word of miracle. But certainly I believe spiritually you can have moments of transformation and, struggle has its own rewards and it can bring you closer to the person you want to be. And if you at one time in your life felt that you were lost or disconnected from life, when you are more, when you're able to sort of feel that transformation taking place, I think you can't help but look at it as feeling something miraculous has taken place.
Hmm. And the song that we've just heard, We Traveled So Far, could be extraordinarily symbolic, I mean,
mm-hmm, yeah,
in terms of one's own life.
Absolutely. And for me, that's a very personal song. And it was important, in a way, for the narrative of this record to start the record with that song. The last few years have been very unlike anything I thought I'd ever experience. And the sort of challenges that I faced and the personal struggles and everything that I feel like I've kind of gone through in the last few years. When I finished that song, it was a song of resilience and acknowledging that things are hard, but at the same time feeling great joy and happiness at where I found myself.
When did you begin writing that song?
I finished that song last spring.
And you began writing it when?
Actually, that's one of those songs that wrote itself fairly quickly. I remember I was driving, and sometimes I have something in my head, and I sing it over and over, almost like a mantra in a way, and I just start thinking. And I remember I was driving in the Shenandoah Valley, and I was singing, We traveled so far. We traveled so far to be here. It just came right out. And I just felt like that's what I want to say. It's like I felt so grateful to be where I was at that moment.
You talked about what you've been through. Mm-hmm. And one major mm-hmm. thing that you've been through is a pulmonary embolism.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That hit you how long ago?
3 years ago. Right after I was visiting you here, actually, a few weeks after that, I was about to go on a national tour for the brand new record called The Calling. And
for which you were nominated for a Grammy.
Thank you, I was. And just about to go out and promote that record. And I got very ill with the PE, as they call them, and had to torpedo all the work and the tour and everything. And it was a very strange time, not to mention, you know, terrifying at the same.
Do you remember the day it happened?
Well, I think it was over a course of a few days, basically. It's a long story and I won't bore you with it, but I had a lot of pain in my chest for a period of time, and I had to go to the ER a couple of times before they found it. And then when they did, it was a great relief, obviously. And I just remember lying there in that ER and looking up at the doctor's face, and he just said, "We found it. We know what we're dealing with now. We know what it is." And because I thought for a while I was going crazy, because I couldn't. No one knew why I was in so much pain. So.
How did they treat you?
Oh, well, I was in the hospital for about 5 days, and they immediately put you on blood thinners and monitor you. And then it's a process of going home, and there's a lot of follow-up tests after that and a lot of treatment. But eventually you go home and you try to pick up the pieces, you know? And I really sank into a funk after I got home. I didn't realize how depressed I would feel, and discombobulated and lost and terrified and all of these things as a result of it. And it took a long time to kind of come out of that dark place. And some of the songs on this record are about that.
And certainly in an age of miracles, you must have felt very grateful mm-hmm. to have survived.
Yeah. The song, the title song, Age of Miracles, is about, it's a song I wrote, I say you and I and we, but I was really speaking of myself in this song. And the first verse is about that sense of being lost, but the chorus comes in and it says what I want it to say, which is, you know, you'll get up the hill.
Upon you like smoke on the air, you can smell it and find yourself gone to a place that you lived without worry or care. Isn't that where we all once came from? Green leaves and tall trees and stars overhead, and the sound of the world through the screen. But now you sleep with the covers pulled over your head, and you never remember to dream. You think you're just standing still. One day you'll get up that hill. In the age of miracles, there's one on the way. Greenland is melting, the west is on fire, but don't
stop praying for rain. It's a curious place between hope and desire. Different gods, but the prayer is the same. A thousand new storms seem to form on a breeze, drowning all living things in their paths. When a small southern town finds a rope in a tree, we're all once again trapped in the past. It seems we're just standing still, but one day we'll get up that hill. In the age of miracles, there's one on the way.
Seems as though we're standing still, but one day we walk back up that hill. Mm-hmm.
You have to believe that, don't you?
You really do.
You do. You do.
No matter what's going on mm-hmm. in your life.
That's right.
You had to believe you'd get back.
Yes, and I had the great benefit of amazing friends, amazing family, beloved husband. You know, I had them by my side. And without that, I would have been lost.
But I walk to find monks pouring into the streets, marching thousands strong.
Mary Chapin Carpenter, her new CD, The Age of Miracles.
I will never be fearful again if I'm just standing still. One day I'll get up that hill. Smell it and find yourself gone to a place that you lived without worry or care. Isn't that where we all once came from? Green leaves and tall trees and stars overhead, and the sound of the world through the screen. But now you sleep with the covers pulled over your head, and you never remember to dream. Think you just standing still. One day
and for those of you who've just joined us, one of my favorite guests, Mary Chapin Carpenter, is here. She has a brand new CD out. It's titled The Age of Miracles. And of course, we do invite your calls. 800-433-8850. Your emails to drshow@wamu.org. You can post your comments at our website on Facebook or at Twitter. Here's an email from Andy, who says, I saw you perform in a cafe in DuPont Circle in the mid-80s. I had never heard of you, but loved your music immediately. I believe you played this shirt.
I would have, probably.
It was just you, a guitar, and a microphone mm-hmm. in an intimate setting. I always think of that when I hear your name and consider myself to be the lucky recipient of a gift. I'm in Dallas now and consider that evening to be one of my most pleasant memories of my time in D.C.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that lovely?
I bet you that was either Food for Thought or Kramer Books and Afterwards Cafe around DuPont Circle.
He said Afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Kramer Books and Afterwards Cafe.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And here's another. Says, is from Killeen, from all of us in St. Louis. Please come and perform for us. I've followed your career for so many years. I'm struggling to transfer some of your cassettes to my iPod. I'll be traveling to the store on my lunch break to find your CD and then transfer it. One cannot have too many copies.
Isn't that marvelous? Oh, golly, that's so nice.
You know, you've said, Mary Chapin, that some of the songs on this new album are, quote, reports from that strange and mysterious territory known as love and marriage. Mm-hmm. I feel very much in sync with you mm-hmm. on that. What do you mean?
Well, I got married when I was 44, I think I was. And it was, you know, foreign territory to me. And it was the first time I'd ever been married. And I think there's something that I've learned, obviously. And I'm sure that it's a universal feeling that there's probably nothing so challenging or hard. But also the rewards are, there's nothing quite like the rewards. It is completely worth everything you put into it. And you just, every day, you could be a different person, and you evolve and you learn. And the things that you learn are things that you just had no idea that you needed to learn, but you did.
It's not easy.
It's not easy.
Nothing today, whether to leave or to stay. 'Cause underneath sorrow, underneath fear, there's nothing that's keeping me here. 'Cause I'm a zephyr on the inside, and it's a hard ride when you feel yourself tied down, hide and earthbound, but there's no tether on a zephyr. Constant, just like a star, I tried to be steady and yard. But the storms keep breaking over my head, I'm aching for blue skies instead. 'Cause I'm a zephyr on the inside, and it's a hard ride when you feel your heart tied down, hide and earthbound, there's no tether. I'm a zephyr. All of the wings I've written back home to you, all the things I've given, I've wanted to, all that you see has always belonged to you, except for the wind.
That line, there's no tether on a zephyr.
Yeah.
Tell me about that line.
Well, you know, I think for me, the thing that has been the hardest for me to learn about marriage and relationships is that without the work, without the struggle, it's not really worth it. And learning to stay and learning to face that is perhaps the greatest lesson you can learn. And I think that you're always struggling with the notion, like, I could go, I could be free, I could be untethered, and wouldn't that be fine? But, you know, you just have to think back to why you got married in the first place.
There's no tether on a zephyr. Thank you.
When you think about marriage, relationships, mm-hmm. even friendships, mm-hmm. sometimes it's easier to walk away mm-hmm. than to stay. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you work through what you have to work through mm-hmm. because you're here, your partner, your husband, your lover is here, and the relationship is up there. Right. It's a third party.
Exactly, exactly.
And the two of you have created that third party. It's almost as though you would tear down a building mm-hmm. if you walk away.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I think it's a very good analogy. Yeah.
I know my husband and I, of now 50 years, went through so many periods
yeah.
of that sort, and that notion of a zephyr.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of the times when you're right in the thick of it, it's a very lonely place to be. And you tend to almost feel like you're probably the only one who's ever felt that way. And I think that's why it's such an interesting topic, obviously, because so many people go through it and are looking for something familiar, some signpost along the way that helps them believe that they're doing the right thing, making the right decisions, that they're not, you know, completely alone in their struggle.
Did you think you must have?
And for me, well, for me, writing songs is part therapy for that. You know, it's how I try to figure things out for myself.
The fact that you waited as long as you did to marry means that you thought about it long and hard beforehand. But you never can fully imagine
right.
what it's going to be like
yeah.
in the midst of it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You never have any idea.
Then there is a song titled I Put My Ring Back On. Tell me about that.
Great segue, Tanya.
Yeah. This
song really speaks for itself if you listen to the lyrics. And I'm singing it with Vince Gill, one of the great duet partners in the world.
Who knows where fate comes from? Last night I put my ring back on. Cause here with you is where I belong. Last night I put my ring back on. No life's without uncertainty. We both know how hard this love can be. It's just this hurting inside of me that threw it down, 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 down. Who knows where hope comes from? My ring back on. 'Cause here with you is where I belong. Last night I put my ring back on. We can't speak like lovers we used to be. We can't change ancient history. And love wounds with such simplicity. And I threw it down.
Tell me what it was like working with Vince Gill.
Vince Gill, the amazing singer, Vince Gill. He's one of the greatest people on the planet. Let's just put it that way. I was lucky enough to tour with him for a long time in the 90s. And God, it's odd saying that, in the 90s.
In the 90s, yeah.
He did a lot for me. He really helped me get out in front of a lot of people, and he had a lot of faith in me, and I will be eternally grateful to him. But I never invited him to be on a record. He's a busy man, and I didn't want to bother him, you know. And I put the vocal down for this song, and I remember thinking as I was singing my vocal, God, you know, Vince Gill, God, he could tear this up. This would be great if I could get Vince to sing on this. But I immediately put the thought aside because I just don't like calling people, and I just was, you know, I didn't want to bother him. And then that same day, a dear friend of mine came into the studio. We played her the track of that I had just done of this vocal, and she said, you know, Vince Gill would be great to sing on this song. And so there it was. And so we called him and
picked up the phone
and said, Vince, what are you doing on Friday? And bless his heart, he came in. And as you can hear, he did a beautiful job.
Tell me about, you said he helped you to get out in front of audiences.
He invited me to open his show. I think it was almost for like a year and a half. It was a long tour. And I had I'm not exactly sure what years it was, but I had maybe one or two records out. And he was playing, he was filling stadiums. He was a big deal. And to be able to open a show for Vince and get in front of all of those people, you know, and I had maybe a few little songs on the radio. That's what I mean. He really, he gave me a real step up. He did me a great favor by inviting me to open a show. And I remember the fun we used to have. We'd play these, these huge, you know, indoor arenas or whatever. And this was in the days when we had rollerblades. Uh-huh. And those out, you know how you'd be inside the arena, but outside of the arena are these long hallways made of cement. And during Vince's show, after our show, we'd strap on our rollerblades and rollerblade all around these coliseums at night and have great times. And it was wonderful.
Mary Chapin Carpenter, her new CD is titled The Age of Miracles. And you're listening to The Diane Rehm Show. And we'll open the phones at this point, 800-433-8850. Let's try Robin in Greenville, Tennessee. You're on the air.
Hi, Diane. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi there.
Hi, Mary Chapin. I'm so thrilled to be able to talk with you. How are you today?
I'm fine, Robin. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good.
I just wanted to express to you my appreciation and to thank you for all your gifts and your obvious sensitivity as a singer-songwriter and as an artist. I've learned so much as a singer-songwriter, and I met you in the 90s when you were touring with Vince Gill, and it was a very, very slight meeting, but I just wanted to thank you then and to let you know that, you know, you've really inspired me to be a very sensitive and gentle and a better songwriter. I don't think I would have been if it hadn't been for you and your style. And I just wanted to thank you for that.
Robin, thank you so much. I truly appreciate your words. Thanks.
Speaking of inspiration, there's a song about the Tiananmen Square massacre.
Yes. It's a song called 4 June 1989. And I, last year was the 20th anniversary of Tiananmen Square, and I was reading this profile of an artist in the New York Times, and his story was just extraordinary to me. He was at the time, 20 years before, he was just a young man from the very rural provinces, and he wanted to be an artist, but his parents said, no, you have to be in the army, you have to earn money, and It's obviously a very complicated story, but he continues to be an artist now in China and to bear witness to the horrors that he saw that during that time. He's an extraordinary figure.
Heard singing first before we reached the square. Arise, the wretched of the earth, filled the air. So many fists clenched to the sky, we couldn't count them all. Then the sea of weeping washed over the hall. I told them no one saw me, there was no one who would know. I was an army soldier dressed in student's clothes. Between the smoking bonfires, we held our rifles high as the ashes of the banners soared into the sky. Oh, I was 17 that spring. Oh, we
just obeying orders. Oh, I still see everything through the factory's yellow windows, in the dirty, stinking river, in the messages that find you and vanish in the ether. They vanish in the ether.
We'll take just a short break. We'll be back with more from Mary Chapin Carpenter.
I told them not to fear me, but history tells the tale. The artists and the poets fill up every jail.
National broadcast of The Diane Rehm Show is made possible in part by Vicki and Roger Sant and Island Press, which offers solutions to environmental problems in print, in person, and online at islandpress.org. By the Melville Charitable Trust, supporting efforts to find and fight the causes of homelessness, on the web at melvilletrust.org. And by the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. This is NPR.
E-books are rapidly gaining market share, and publishing is going through changes that parallel the music business. On the next Fresh Air, Ken Auletta explains how the transition from paper to screen is changing the way we choose, buy, and read books, and what it all means for publishers as well as authors. Auletta writes the Annals of Communication series for The New Yorker. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
With my guest and friend, Mary Chapin Carpenter. She is always here with such beautiful music. I probably could sit here for the rest of the day listening, Mary Chapin.
So nice. Thank you.
I want to know how important music was for you when you began your recovery from the pulmonary embolism.
Well, I didn't write for a long time. I felt pretty disconnected from music and playing and songwriting. And then I realized that it's sort of an act of faith to start writing songs. You know, you have to look at it like that. I was trying to find inspiration in perhaps some of the darker places, but that's where you find it sometimes. And some of the songs are sadder. Some of the songs are more optimistic. But it's both of those, you know, poles, if you will, that bring you along.
But did you listen to music?
Oh, I listen to music all the time, and I listen just to a lot of just classical music primarily. On my radio in the car and at home. I think it was something that soothed me, and it was something that didn't require, I didn't have to listen, if you will, to words. I was really just trying to sort of feel music and to be soothed by it. Hmm. Yeah.
Here's an email from Josie, who says, I've been following Mary Chapin's music since the early 90s. I would always play the music in my car with my young 4-year-old daughter at the time. She enjoyed it as much as I. Considering she is now 20,
oh my
and
God,
still loves your music, is a tribute to you affecting many generations.
That's so lovely.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is. You know, when you're playing a concert and you look out into the audience and you see people of, you know, obviously many ages, many generations, that's probably the most wonderful thing that you can see, to feel that somehow you're connecting to people of all ages and places and types and every color in the world in the rainbow. It is why I think that I feel so fortunate when I can play. And you know, my impulse is to want to connect, but I feel like I get back so much from the people who listen.
Let's take a call in Winchester, Virginia. Good morning, Nick. You're on the air.
Good morning, Diane. Good morning, Ms. Carpenter.
Good morning.
First, very quickly, on embolisms. I had a double one 9 years ago.
Oh my!
And I've been on warfarin ever since.
Yes.
Yeah. You can do it. You can live with it. It's great.
I appreciate you saying that.
Okay. Two. Your early album, Come On, Come On, is one of my go-to albums for driving in the car, and I listen to the whole thing, and then I'll play it again. And I had one question about the cut, Turn Me About and Whirl Me Around, or Whirl Me, and...
A song called Only a Dream.
Pardon me?
The song's called Only a Dream.
Oh, okay, well, it's...
Yeah.
Okay. Only a Dream. Uh-huh. And I wondered about the relationship between the singer and the older brother. I mean, does it suggest that they were members of a mixed family and she actually was not his biological sister?
Well, no. I'll explain that song. I'm happy to do so. The chorus that you're referring to, Twirl Me About, Twirl Me Around, that's a song about one of my older sisters and I, and we were always together. And then as we got older and it was time for her to leave for college and to move out, invariably I felt left behind. And it's about sort of trying to understand why, as siblings, we grow apart. Mm. So that's what the song's about.
It's not about boy and girl. Okay.
No, but you know what? I've never felt that I needed to dictate the meaning. I've heard many different interpretations of and thoughts about the lyrics, and I think whatever connects to you is fine.
Exactly. Nick, thanks for your call. You know, we talked about the Zephyr, but there's also a cut on here titled I Was a Bird. Mm-hmm. Your interest in
being free.
Right.
The images in that song are that of birds, of clouds, light. The idea that we can be untethered, as we talked about, and float above our troubles.
I was a bird that loved to fly, catching the wind as it went south, and I could touch every inch of sky, and the sweetest songs trilled from my mouth. And I'm no bird anyone can see, and there's no wind waiting for me. It's just a dream, it's just a dream to be a bird flying free.
the shade to lay upon, and the greenest grass was my gift, and a summer day was my song. But I'm no cloud anyone can see, and there's just dust instead of green. It's just a dream. It's just a dream to be a cloud drifting free.
Alison Krauss is on this cut with you.
Yes, one of the sweetest voices in music. It was just joyful to have her in the studio. She's another person that I've been fortunate enough to know for many years, and she came in and just opened her sweet mouth, and it was beautiful harmony.
Did you find that when you were sick, when you were recovering, people gathered to you in ways that surprised you?
I'll tell you, one day the phone rang, and it was about 3 weeks or 2 weeks after I got out of the hospital, and I'd been just, you know, holed up at home, and Timmy was there, and just trying to feel better, and the phone rang, and I heard this voice, and I knew exactly who it was. It was Joan Baez.
Ah.
And she called, and she said, "I heard, and I wanted to send my love to you."
Oh.
And I started to cry on the phone. Didn't expect that at all. People reached out in lovely ways, and she was one of them.
You had met her?
She cut one of my songs. Ah. She cut Stones in the Road, and she and I have done some shows together over the years with Indigo Girls. And so I certainly always looked up to her. And I really love her.
She was on this program a year or so ago. Mm-hmm. She was just marvelous.
She's a very special person.
Very special person. All right, let's go to Dayton, Ohio, and to Thad. Good morning.
Good morning. Can't say what a thrill it is to speak with you both. I won't be able to express my admiration as well as some of the previous callers, but I've just been kind of tearing up in the truck thinking about the opportunity to thank you for your music. I'm scolding myself for not having more of it, but we do have some, and I've caught you on the Diane Rehm show several times, so thank you, Ms. Rehm, for exposing her to a larger audience and getting her music out wider.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Go right ahead.
I'm sorry. I had a specific question, maybe a little obscure. You had some music that was in the soundtrack for a movie a while back called Fly Away Home.
Yes.
It had Jeff Daniels in it, Anna Paquin, mm-hmm. about rescuing some Canadian geese.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering if you had anything specific to say about that. Some people thought it was just kind of a silly little movie. It moved me for some reason, and I think part of it was your voice in the music, especially at the beginning there, and then it, or certainly at the end.
Just for the record, Thad, I adored that movie.
Oh, thank you, Thad. That was a song called 10,000 Miles. It was a traditional song. I loved being able to be a part of that soundtrack. I loved being able to sing that song. I knew the song originally from this beautiful singing of June Tabor. And to be able to be a part of that lovely movie and that song, it's one of the great, great privileges I feel
Thad,
in my life.
Thanks for calling. To Laconia, Indiana, and to Deb, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to let her know that we have a prison program called Freedom 101, dealing with confinement. And when another therapist, prison therapist, heard about it, he sent me Mary Chapin's Don't Be Late for Your Life. And we play that at a crucial point in the 4-day program. And the other part of that story is the therapist who sent me that song thought it would, he said, you don't often see a sea change like this in a prison program. He said, he died shortly after that. I got a fast-growing cancer and just died. So it was, like, so timely, and I can tell that story and wake him up a little bit.
Oh,
and it worked so well.
Deb, thank you so much for that.
I can't wait to get the new album.
Oh, thank you.
But to use that in a prison program.
That's just wonderful.
How very, very special.
Yes.
Mary Chapin Carpenter is with me. Her new album, titled The Age of Miracle, is out today. And you're listening to The Diane Rehm Show. This, I Have a Need for Solitude, your husband has said, is the most autobiographical of all your songs here on this album.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I like to spend a lot of time alone with my thoughts and or out under the trees, lying there with the dogs and the kitties out on the farm. And I tend to be on the shy side, on the private side. And I was just trying to say how that feels in this song, but I still need the connection to one special person.
I have a need for solitude. I'll never be safe in crowded rooms. I like the sound of silence coming on. I come everyone has gone home. I have a need for cool verdant spaces beneath the trees, secret empty places nobody knows, so no one will intrude. I have a need for solitude.
The image of you with your dogs and your cats.
Yeah, we walk down the hill and it's just the Pied Piper and six dogs. And
six dogs.
Five kitties just kind of rolling on down the hill.
What kinds of dogs?
I have three golden retrievers. I have a little Norwich terrier. And then I have two beautiful little mixed breed dogs from the shelter. And then lots of kitties from the shelter.
And they're all your adored and adoring companions.
Adored companions.
Yeah. Isn't it remarkable how much they give us?
They give me everything.
It brings you to tears.
Yeah.
Because they are so special. Mary Chapin, thank you so much for this extraordinarily special time with you.
Thank you, Diane. I love visiting with you.
It's always such an uplifting time and such a beautiful pause in all the world's problems.
Thank you.
To have you here in the studio. So congratulations on the new album.
Thank you so much.
It's titled The Age of Miracles, Mary Chapin Carpenter. Thanks for listening, all. I'm Diane Rehm.
Like smoke on the air, you can smell it and find yourself gone to a place that you lived without worry or care. Isn't that where we all once came from?
The Diane Rehm Show is produced by Sandra Pinkard, Nancy Robertson, Jonathan Smith, Susan Neighbors, Denise Couture, and Monique Nazareth. The engineer is Toby Schreiner. Dori Annisman answers the phones. Visit drshow.org for audio archives and CD sales, transcripts from SoftScribe, and podcasts. Call 202-885-1200 for more information. Our email address is drshow@wamu.org. This program comes to you from American University in Washington. This is NPR.
Greenland is melting, the West is on fire, but don't ever stop praying for rain. It's a curious place between hope and desire.